Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Welcome to another episode of the Human Technology Podcast. And today I'm taking this episode to take a few minutes to talk about design thinking, the tool, the philosophy, the process of design thinking. And a couple of thoughts up front. The first thing, when it is about such a tool, is it old stuff? Is it just freshly marketed? Is it is it a new tool? Is it something that is really innovative, that is somehow different? Is it a hype, or is it a real method that helps us to move forward, to make technology sexy, to become better professionals, to create better technology? And This is basically the question that I would like to answer here. The main thought that I'm having is that every product perfectly reflects the environment in which it was created. There is a saying in the HMI area that is like, draw me your HMI, your human machine interface, and I will draw your org chart. And one example where I found this particularly true is the very first navigation system, SAT navigation in BMW cars. And that came out in the mid-90s. And at that time, the radio department must have been very strong at BMW. So there was this screen, I think it was a 5-inch screen, and everything was on the screen, everything was displayed there, and for the first time there was a navigation system guiding you, and then there were the radio controls, and I mean, on the screen, the frequency of the station, the station name that was shown on the screen, but all the radio controls were separate. So everything else was on the screen, and they had a little rotary push device to control it, and all of that was controllable through this rotary push besides the radio devices. And this shows that the radio department must have been very strong at BMW at that time. Probably they were like, our great radio will not go into the stupid screen, and we will not do this, and it's very important to have this. And since they must have been pretty strong, BMW ended up with all these separate radio buttons, and everything else, phone and navigation and media, all that was in the screen controllable by the little rotary push device. For myself, I used parts of design thinking in various of my projects, parts of the toolbox, parts of the processes, and I want to share my experiences, my thoughts on this tool. One spoiler up front, design thinking is not for everyone. It is not for every organization. It is not for every person, which is neither good nor bad, but it is like it is. It is not for all applications, and you cannot apply it in all contexts. But it is for many people and many organizations. It is for tons of different applications. and it works in many, many different contexts. So, what is design thinking? To cite a statement of Annie Kurgan, who is the grand lady of design thinking, she said, "Design thinking is like an urban jungle. You never know what's behind the next corner." And I think this summarizes it well, very well. It's an urban jungle. It is maybe a little dangerous. It is chaotic. And surprises happen and new things arise from that. To make it a little more concrete, a little more scientific, a little more detailed, design thinking is a structured method to generate innovation. And it is a systematic approach. Although it often looks from the outside like fun, like chaos, like unfocused, like people just doing whatever they like to do, which couldn't be any wronger, but at the end of the day, it is very, very systematic and very structured. The focus in any part of the design thinking processes, in any aspect that you have there, is the focus on user wishes, skills, abilities, needs, dreams, targets. So the user is in focus, and the developers consistently adopt the user's point of view during a design thinking project. And it is a method for solving a problem, which means that in the beginning, you need to define a problem, you need to have a problem, and at the end, there must be a solution. And the problems, they may exist in reality, or they can be anticipated by the design thinking team, by management, by a product manager, by whomever. So we can have either real problems or anticipated problems to be solved with design thinking. Design thinking has three levels, three perspectives. And there, number one, it is a culture, it's a philosophy, it's a mindset that you have. Number two, it is a process, or actually two processes that are interwoven. And most people just see one of these processes, and the other one is sometimes ignored a bit. But we have two major processes that are interwoven, that interact with each other, that belong to each other, to have a complete design thinking project. And number three, design thinking is a toolbox. And I will run through these three points, culture, process, and toolbox, step by step, and explain what is behind it what makes design thinking so unique and so different. So let's start with the culture, the philosophy, the mindset. If you want to apply design thinking, you need and you create a culture of respect, trust, attention, a culture of positive feedback. So it is a way people in an organization, in a project, work with each other, see each other, cooperate with each other. So you first of all, you need to have a basis in all these, in respect, trust, attention, positive feedback, and also you create it, you strengthen it during a design thinking process. Experiment before theory, reflection and action, or as I always say, a let's see what works attitude that is required. Design thinking means fail often, fail early, and fail forward. So mistakes are not something bad. It's the opposite. Mistakes are a source of learning, a source of improvement, a source of innovation. So make many mistakes, make them early, generate knowledge out of it, and apply the required changes to move forward. You need optimism and curiosity. That is core. A mindset like, this will never work. We have never done it like this. This will not help you anyway, but particularly not in a design thinking project. Because it requires thinking outside the box, you need to question everything. You need to question your questions. You need to question your answer. You need to question your failures. You need to question everything in a positive way. Design thinking is very practical. You start very early building prototypes, trying to try out things. It's not anyhow theoretical, it's very creative. It's visual, it's interactive, it's agile, it's very autonomous. So you will not, let's put it that way, it's much easier in a flexible, open, agile structure in mind thinking to run a design thinking process. You need to accept ambiguity. Things are not clear, and sometimes they do not even get clearer, but more complex in some phases of a design thinking project. But at the end, you will find a solution. You have a user-centered approach, so an innovation will be more successful the better it considers the various needs and problems and abilities, skills of the user. And design thinking is doing that. It is for complex and clear problems. So a problem may be complex, but it shall have a clear formulation. You need to be clear about the problem. And then you will be able to run a successful design thinking project. And at the very end, the last point of the culture philosophy part, it is interdisciplinary. It's in different specialists from different areas come together. They all bring in different ways of thinking, different strategies, different problem-solving strategies. They have different tools, and this is very important. Do not do a design thinking project with the graphic designers only, or human factors engineers only, or lawyers only. But put them all together in a group and let's see what comes out at the very end of the day. So much about the culture, the philosophy, the mindset part of design thinking. The second point is the process, or the processes that you have. Design thinking in general has this double diamond process thinking. So you have this opening and closing of activities that you have. Basically, you have two areas. One is the problem area, and then you have the solution area. And in both areas, you have a divergent part and a convergent part. The divergent part in the problem area is that you start with a problem and you collect as many information on the problem a user has until you have a huge corpus of knowledge on this one. And then you go into a convergent part to drill it down to the one problem, as complex as it may be, that you want to solve. And then you enter the solution area and you do the same again. You start with collecting solutions, with trying things out, with prototyping, testing, and it gets bigger and bigger. And then you have a point where you start with a convergence, where you say, okay, now we're going to focus on the things that work best, and we combine them, and then you drill it down until you have the one solution for one problem. So this is the general, let's say, process that you have. Within this process, this double diamond process, there is the so-called microcycle. The microcycle is a cycle, it's a circular process that you have, it's iterative, it's agile, and it is the one kind of process that is always in focus. So if you talk to people about design thinking, they very often have the microcycle as the one thing that happens in a design thinking process. It is an important part, but it is not the only part in a design thinking process. But let's have a closer look at this. So this circular process, this agile process will be repeated over and over again. You do not need to run through all the steps on any stage of the project. So there are parts of the circle that are more important in earlier project phases and others are better or more on the focus and later parts of the project. But well, let's run through them. So the first one is problem definition. The second one is need finding and synthesis. Third one, idea generation, then prototyping and storytelling, testing, and repeat again until a solution. Let's get a bit into the single steps. Problem definition. This is the start of every design thinking project. A good question simplifies the finding of an innovation solution. So the quality of your question steers the quality of your solution. So make a clear and targeted question. Do not have a technology focus and do not include the solution or a direction into the question. The classical one is like, what are users doing? For whom is it? Is it for men? Is it for women? Is it for elderly? Is it for younger people? And so on. And for which use cases is a product or a service that you want to design with design thinking? So problem definition. Then the need finding and synthesis. So find out about user needs, about the observations that you did. For example, conduct interviews, engage yourself in a problem. Try to solve it. Try to go out and do the things that are required to solve the problems of your users. Run focus groups, questionnaires, online questions, whatever is required to collect data on the real needs of your user. Next step then is the idea generation. So apply creativity methods. I had a podcast episode on creativity methods a few weeks ago. You may check out that one. I will mention a few in the toolbox area, but you need to create all different kinds of ideas. And then right with the idea creation, perform prototyping. Or if you do not have a physical product, if you have a service, if you have a service which is not a non-physical product, then try it with storytelling. And then you start with low resolution prototypes. This may be cardboard prototypes. This may be Lego blocks that you put together. This may be toys that you use, rough sketches that you do, wire framings on flip charts, and you know, all this rough low resolution prototypes. That's the beginning. And in later stages of the project, you get into high resolution prototypes. Important is be fast, be simple, be imperfect. Prototype as know as that you are right, and then test as if you know you are wrong. And this again is a core philosophy of design thinking. Prototype as if you know you are right, and test if you know you are wrong. And the next step then is testing. This is maybe the classical usability testing. This may be a focus group that you run. Go out with your product to your target group with your prototype, with your story that you tell. Go to your target group and collect data and collect their feedback. And then you use this to redefine the problem. Maybe you find out that you had the wrong problem, or that you have a problem behind the problem that you need to solve. And then you run through this cycle again. So problem definition, need finding, idea generation, prototyping, testing. And then repeat this until you find a solution where you have a good feeling and where users, the target user group, gives you a positive feedback on. So that is the circular, agile, iterative microcycle. And then there is the macrocycle, which is sometimes ignored a bit, but I find it at least as important as the microcycle. The macrocycle is not a cycle, although it is very often named a microcycle. It is a linear process. And you run through the single steps of the microcycle, the macrocycle, once in a project. There are situations where you may jump back, but this is not the norm. It's not a standard. Usually you run through it. It's a waterfall kind of process. It's clearly separated steps, and yeah, you run through them step by step, one after the other. And it starts with the so-called design space exploration, where you basically find out what is the problem my users are having, what is my target group, how is it defined, where you involve yourself, where you engage yourself in the problems of your user group. And then after this design space exploration in this waterfall process, you have different prototypes that you build. And all these prototypes, they differ in the focus that they have and the way they are made and the role that they play in this process. But in general, again, the first half of the process is a divergent phase. So in the beginning, you constantly expand the scope of the ideas. And then in the second half, that's the convergence phase, you drill it down to one solution. With evaluation of the results, you consolidate what you have done. And then you, at the very end of the day, you will have, at the very end of a design thinking project, you will have one single solution. All right, so this was the second part of design thinking. So the first one was culture, philosophy, and mindset. The second one were the two major processes, or the overlaying process of the double diamond, and then the two processes of microcycle and macrocycle. And the third part is that design thinking is a toolbox. And you can see it as a toolbox. And there are tools in that are very well known, that are very well established, that are not new at all. But there's also like this early prototyping, like this fail-forward prototyping that you do that are new or that are not so established in traditional areas of product development, of HMI development. All the tools in this toolbox can be used independently. So if you need something, grab it, use it, and that's it. This toolbox allows you to collect, evaluate, and interpret data. It generates your ideas. I talked about the creativity methods, things like SIT or like Scamper, like brainstorming, like the Walt Disney method. So all of these are in the design thinking toolbox. And then there are various prototyping methods, from wireframing through cardboard prototypes, high-res prototypes that are almost close to a final product. All this is also part of it. And then there are the different kinds of test methods to collect user data. Things like, let's say, traditional usability studies, like focus groups, like quick checks, like, and all this is in the toolbox. So those are the three parts: the culture, the processes, and the toolbox that build the entire design thinking method or philosophy. on three experiences I had with design thinking in my life. Just three bullet points. The first one is, it usually doesn't work at the first time. It is too new, too different, too extensive, too whatever to work in the first time. So develop a little patience if you want to implement design thinking in your product development. And get outside professionals that help you implementing that to make it work as soon as somehow possible. But don't expect that you say, okay, we want to do design thinking. And then you turn your company for 3 days into a design thinking company, and then you have tons of new innovation. It doesn't work like this. It is a long-term thing, and you will make your experiences, and they may be frustrating in the beginning. But don't give up. The second experience I had, significant changes in thinking, decision-making, and actions inside an organization, inside a department, inside a product development team. They aren't necessary. So you need to have sometimes profound changes in the processes. So parts of the design thinking processes, particularly the double diamond, but also the agile iterative microcycle, they may be totally different from the processes that you have as of today, and you will need to change this. You need changes in thinking. That is the cultural, the philosophical, the mindset part that you have. And this includes the acceptance, that you create a atmosphere of acceptance within an organization. Then there are new methods that you need to apply. And for me, one of the most difficult things in traditional engineering organizations, companies, you need to allow mistakes and you need to see them as a positive positive aspect. There are sources of innovation, of rethinking, of creating new opportunities and new solutions. And today, very often we have the culture of mistakes are not allowed. If you make a mistake, then you are weak and you may be fired for that. And you need to change this. And from my point of view, this is the most significant change in the thinking and the mindset inside organizations. And the third experience I would like to share is that great products and great services can emerge from design thinking. And it's very difficult to find them. And there are a few products and services where it is known inside the, let's say, product development arena or community that design thinking was applied. So parts of Airbnb, for example, were developed with design thinking processes and tools. Uber Eats is another example. A more technical product are the digital services for hydraulic applications at Bosch Rexroth. That is a machine tool company, a subsidiary of the big Bosch company, and they applied design thinking to create the digital services that they have around their hydraulic applications. KDM, an Austrian motorbike and mountain bike maker, created e-bikes for women with a design thinking process. Then there is a Paid Planet product from American Express, which is more like a service, not a physical product, but a service. And the last one, a final one, is the Braun Oral-B electrical toothbrush that has a USB connection. So you can control how the quality of your toothbrushing is, and you can order spare parts like brushes on the internet. So those are products where either for sure or with a high probability design thinking was applied either for the complete project or more probably for parts of the project development. All right, let's come to an end. Let's summarize this episode on design thinking. So the design thinking is a method that is different and that leads to different results and different solutions and different products. So it is an innovation process, innovation philosophy, innovation strategy, and innovation toolbox that you can apply. It is, as I said, philosophy, process, and a toolbox. And design thinking is not easy, but it is definitely rewarding. One final remark. Do you know companies, do you know projects, do you know products or services that apply design thinking completely, that use it in its entirety? If yes, then please contact me. I'm very interested in exchanging on that one. So if you were able to take something with you from this episode, if you learned something here, if you had fun, then why not recommending the podcast to other persons in your network? The more people listen to it, the higher it will be ranked, and the more, even more people will find it on the respective platforms. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.